teachers.
Now, amongst the Karat teachers, she and who else was there? The Benkises weren't there at the time, they were still students.
Yeah. During this period, you were still teaching at Mayor Street.
She was teaching, yes. Uh-huh. And she was the left wing in the Teachers League. Yeah, because she belonged to a party. Anyway, the point we're coming to was I had to go out.
Carter.
Oh, Carter. We fought very hard to get Carter into the convention. Mm-hmm. And after a long time, they came in. Now, why we did this was, we recognized that throughout the whole of the Union, there is a school somewhere, you know. Schools are all over, throughout the Union.
In all the areas.
And where there are schools, there are teachers. And if the teachers belong to the Teachers Association, then they are now affiliated to the convention. So then what we would do is, we would issue, you know, something for the convention, a press for the convention, then send it out. And it would go to the Teachers Association, and the branches take it all over. Now, in the end, people now got to understand the quislings amongst the teachers. A new thing would come up, and then people would go and ask the teacher, now what does this mean now? Mm. If he doesn't know, they say, what kind of a teacher is this? what kind of a teacher? He becomes suspect. You see what I mean? Mm. So, in the end, the teacher joins, everything comes, he reads the bulletins carefully so as to be able to explain to the people what it was all about. So that we needed the educated classes. So we had to go for them at that stage. And that's how we got them. And then when we got them, the idea spread.
And they did damn good work.
Yeah.
All over the Transkei and the Siskei. Mm. Those were the areas.
So your broadsheet actually was distributed through them.
Yes, and where they didn't get it, the branch would have a copy and they reproduce it.
Yeah. Can I ask you about something about the organization of these trips into the countryside? The finances, the contacts.
Now that's where we were childish about.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us?
You know, we were, what would they call those people who were, we always thought of poor people having got money that we can't or so. Now, and I was as poor as church mouse. And so these fellows here and Ghulam would finance me to go out, you see. And we get there. Now, the funny thing was...
But the party also... The party gave money.
Did the party raise money?
The party? I don't know.
No, the party was illegal, couldn't raise money for it's individuals.
Individual
game. Yeah. And it was a very small party. Yeah. So
and the party financed.
Yeah.
Anyway, for the most time it was anyway not the party. But anyway, grant the party.
Oh, not granted. The party did good work.
Yes, all right, they did give.
The party did its share of giving what it could.
What it could.
When he had to do the trips to the Transkei or to the Siskei, the party gave as much as it could.
Yeah.
Whether Ghulam provided the car or friend provided the car, that was beside the point.
Yeah. All right.
But he travelled by car and he went from place to place organizing.
But later I had my little buggy.
You had your little car, yes.
Now, we hold a meeting. Now, as soon as we finish a meeting, the people are used to it. They start collecting. Mm. You collect money. They're used to it. Now, we are, of course, what do we call ourselves? We say, poor fellows, how can we take money from people who are starving? So we say, that money would be... You see, the leaders prior to ourselves lived on the people, you understand? An organization was something to live on, you see. But now we were determined to break that. But to break that, we went to the other extreme, which now that we are old enough, you know, we understand, this was a little bit... You know, crazy.
Idealistic, all right.
Yeah, idealistic, you know, idealism of youth.
Unimportant.
Then they, no, never mind, it is important, because they want to know how you raise the funds. So, then they get the money, so we say now, all right, you take this money, put it in, these are your funds, this is your funds of the organization, and so on. And they look at you, you're a very strange fellow. Well, so, but there it was. We could have had money to do more.
But we were so idealistic.
Do you remember any particular districts which were strong organizationally?
Oh, now you're coming to...
There were various outstanding incidents.
We have that, my placebo, for instance.
Yes, you could do that.
Yeah, my placebo.
And they'll give you an instance of what happened.
Mm. He got there.
Where is this?
And it was...
Mount Ayler in the Transkei.
That's right, in the Transkei. Now, I didn't know that there had been somebody who had gone there before me, collected money to go and hire lawyers or something. So, of course, there was a big, there was an uprising, so to speak. A van of the police couldn't get off the road, main road. Never, couldn't. The people had to divide their own system. If they eat his sin over here, a woman would say, and then on the top of the mountain, somebody picks it up. Does that, then the next mountain, somebody picks it up. And the men arm themselves and they come. Now, this was an old, old thing that was resuscitated. That was the old habit. Anyway, I go to this meeting. Now, they're not allowed to meet more than 10 at a time. But they go, they met it, the mountainside was just black. And I address them. So, I talk to them, then I see there's a little, you know, commotion. So I ask these, there was a fellow who came here, collected money and ran away with it. So they're wondering if you are one of them.
It had to what was it, the land or the cattle?
It was the cattle, the culling.
The culling.
Now they collected money and for an advocate, you see. So now they were getting out of control. I realize now that I have to fight back. It's either I or... something else. So I quickly stand round and say, now look, wait a minute. You come here, you're talking about a man, some white lawyer, who. I said, now those who want to go to white lawyers, would please leave this meeting. And then I was defending myself, you see, but the defense to attack. And I went on, and then they stopped. They realized that nothing to do with it. And I went on with the meeting and the place. But finished, I went back to where, near the roadside, for a teacher's house. As I'm eating, they come, the police come and pick me up, so and so. My classmates here have been arrested. They armed themselves to go and get me out there.
That's the people of that area.
Yeah. And the leader wants to stop them. They want to stab him with their spears. But he knows them, you see. When they come, he runs and jumps on top of some mountain and addresses them. And they come again, does the same thing. In the end he says, yes, you can be brave here, but the person who's going to die is that one there. Because they have him, they will kill him. You are brave, but because you're not going to die. So they stopped. They went off. Anyway, that was
what year was this?
It's
that
place, Mount
Eilert
there.
What year? I don't remember.
I'll tell you what year it was. Was it towards the end of the war, Terry?
I can't remember, John.
How long?
Anyway.
How long did the police keep you?
Anyway, they kept put me in there. They wanted an hour to prosecute. I said, no, I want to get my lawyer. They said, well, we have postponed the case, I'm asking for postponement, because I want a lawyer. Well, we've got lawyers here. I said, all right, but I want my own lawyer. The lawyers they've got are working with the magistrates, say you. So, okay, they had to let me through. Then bail. £100.
Wow.
Now those days, £100 was, you know, if a bail was £10, it was a lot. But suddenly £100 was unheard of. They didn't want me to go out. So I sent a cable to them in Cape Town. They collected the money and sent it. When it arrived there wasn't £100 to give me. In the old place. So they had to send to Coxa to get the £100. And then I was off. Then when the case came, the interpreters and the clerks, I'd made friends with them. I said, now, in what language do you want to be tried? They said, why? There's a lot of people are coming. If you are tried in English, you won't understand. I said, oh no, I want to try it in Khlotha. So they have to translate for me, you see. Yeah, right. Then the fellows opened up the windows all over. People came like that. And their leader told them, please, no arms. No arms on that day. So the people came down, and before you had to cross a river, come down the mountain, cross a river, they put the Asi guys there, and they moved into town.
It's Mount Eilert.
In Mount Eilert. And the Asi guys are all hidden there. And some of them, I kept seeing this fellow, up and down, he worried. I was wondering what it was all about. I learned afterwards, some of them didn't come to court. They went down to the where the jail is. They say the court is a farce. The man is going to be, you know, so finished. That's just a farce. So, but he won't go in here. That's the main thing. So anyway, thing went on. And the whole place was full, behind, full, no breathing space. So, Spilkin, we got a lawyer from from
East London.
No, no. Port Elizabeth.
East London.
Port Elizabeth.
Hmm?
Port Elizabeth.
Oh.
So he was a sharp fellow. So he soon came up. He said, "Now, look, I'm going to call for a dismissal of the case for this, that technicality." We said, "Why?" You know what he discovered? He discovered that because the people are looking all over, who is going to give evidence here? you die.
To say that he was addressing them.
That's right.
Who's the spy?
So it transpired that they couldn't send anybody from there, not even their own, They had to go to Mount Frere.
Matatiel.
There they speak Sotho, you see, and they mix the languages. So Spilkin heard of this, so he took a piece of paper and wrote the sentence, and they asked Sotho to translate it. He translated. So he holds this. He has to turn around. "Will you please translate this?" So he reads. The fellow translates. It's not what's here. So he looks at his own. So he looks at the interpreter. The interpreter looks away. He's amused too. Because the interpreter belongs to the... He's on our side, you see. So...
He's a local man.
Yeah, a local man. He reads another. The fellow translates. So then, "My lord, this man doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, how can you..." Then he chases. So in the end, so he comes to us.
This witness... He's a false witness. He wasn't there.
Yeah.
So he can't prove that...
No, he couldn't understand the language.
Mm.
Yeah.
He
so...
understand what I.B. was saying there.
Yeah. So then he says to me, "I'm going to apply for dismissal of the case. The technicality." So he says, "Oh, no, you can't." He said, "What do you mean?" So, "No, we came here. We want to prove that the rehabilitation scheme is not a law. And they have no business to force people to so and so." So Spilkin said, "It will take another day to do that. And you have to pay £50. So what we do is, "All right, go on then." So he went on. He called the chief magistrate. "Now, you know, when you're on our way out, we went to Mtata and we heard about a circular that had been sent to the various but we couldn't get hold of it. So we asked Spilkin to try and get it somewhere. He couldn't either. So now he calls the magistrate, the chief magistrate."
And you must say what the circular was.
Yeah. Now, the circular came from Pretoria, namely that the people must be persuaded to accept
this rehabilitation scheme.
And then...
Only when they accept it will it be...
law.
Will it be law in that area? It be carried out?
That's right. So, now... he hasn't got it. So he has a whole pile of papers in front of him here. He just a crook, my lawyer. He asked the magistrate, "Now, Mr. Magistrate, you received a circular on this question," and he fiddles with his papers. I got it here. He's talking to himself. "I got it here. you received a circular saying this, that, that, that. I got it here. So he goes on like that. And by the time he's finished, he's telling him what's in the circular. The chief magistrate realizes he can't lie, otherwise. So he has to admit, and he does admit. And so he puts his papers down.
He did receive the circular.
You did receive the circular that says this, and yet you arrest people for refusing, and so on.
Refusing to accept the rehabilitation scheme?
Yeah.
While you arrest them?
Yeah.
So the law says if they refuse to accept it, you can't impose it on.
Yeah.
Can we just ask a few questions on the rehabilitation scheme?
Can we just finish the story?
Okay,
yeah?
Fine.
Now when the magistrate
admitted that he had received the circular,
now the sitting magistrate had to say, now close the case. Now he started now addressing. Now I'm sitting there in front. It's full at the back here. And of course the windows all over. And the fellow just said, I'm told to stand up. So I stand up. And he goes on and on and on. He is not addressing me at all. He's addressing the people, not me. He never once looked at me. So he's explaining. Now you may think that this is not a law. The fact or truth of the matter is that the location so-and-so, location so-and-so, agreed to it. And the chief so-and-so and chief so-and-so also agreed. So when it is law, when it is agreed upon, as soon as they agree, then it becomes law, so on. And he was explaining this thoroughly. And then when he finished that, he looked at me. He dismissed the case. And when it did so, the whole world, oh, I got such a shock, I nearly jumped. Noise, man. They don't care about silence in the court. Silence caught my foot. So, there you are. Mm-hmm. Was that. Now, I had to go. Spirkin, who's my, from Port Elizabeth, he says, now look, you've got to go with me. Now, they want me to address them here now. There the people come round. I must address them. Spirkin says, you're not doing anything of the sort. Besides, you're going with me. I said, but I've got my car there, my little buggy. He said, oh, no, no.
I had the Austin. Austin, 5 or 7
Yeah. You come with me. You come in my car. So I had to give instruction the car should be taken so and trucked to Cape Town. So that was that. That was, at that time, the police couldn't get off the main road.
And what did the people say? Well, the news went round, rehabilitation scheme is not a law. The people don't accept it. But they didn't use it, the people don't accept it. They just say it's not a law.
Not a law, finish. And you know, that same night, the case was nailed right down the Transkei. No, from the top, right down. But they didn't bring in this other business about if you have accepted it's a law. They just let that up quietly. It's not a law. Finished.
So all these things about stock culling and fencing and dipping, those things, people just said it's not a law. So,
no, the rehabilitation scheme was slightly different. All these, some of these things were have been there before.
Yeah.
Now this was culling. That's right. Getting rid of their cattle. You might as well call them to come bring all their stock, and then they look at this one, get rid of that one, that one, that one, that one, so on. all that kind of thing.
And the basic struggle was just to say, it's not law.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, shall we? So, in a, how did the Tata actually organize in the rural areas? Did they organize?
You see, in the rural areas, a teacher is an important person because he can read, and people go to him for all sorts of advice, all sorts of things. Yes. And one or two people would be sent to him to ask about this question, mm-hmm. yeah? And he would explain, and so on. And then they go to a meeting, and then they explain that to him.
So, did they use your booklet on the rehabilitation scheme?
Well, I don't know how much it's illiterates that used it.
Yeah, like teachers.
The teachers, oh yes.
Because.
But you remember that incident in Lady Freya, where the people went to the magistrate's meeting.
That was over the boycott now.
That was important. That's an important story.
Yeah.
It was a very impression.
Now, you see, now the boycott question had gone far enough. We'd been working on it very hard. And the funny thing was, you know, the Bunga is old as Rose. So it had become part and parcel of the people. So we didn't, tackle it directly, because we thought it's too ingrained. But there was this new law of the NRCs, mm-hmm. Native Representative Council, the 12 who were supposed to represent the whole nation and advise Parliament, you see. You remember?
Yes.
That's right. Now, we tackled them. And funnily enough, the people connected the two things. From there, it's the same thing.
The Bunga.
Mm-hmm. You see, from that thing they were tackling, and they came down to the Bunga. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And they started up at the Bunga. Mm-hmm. Now, they led us to that. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. You to the Bunga. We had thought that it had become so part of their lives that it would be difficult to. No, as soon as they understood that, then they came to the Bunga.
They applied it to the local Bunga.
Yeah. Mm. So once I go to Lady Freya, and there's a meeting that has been called. Now we are saying.
By the chief magistrate of that area.
Yeah.
Now that's a rural area, you must understand.
Yeah.
There are four streets. Mm.
Yes.
Mm. And farms all around.
Now, what am I going to say, John?
Yeah, they are called to the local Bunga.
Yes, no, there was local something Bunga else I wanted to explain before then.
You said the chief magistrate.
Ah, it'll come. To come just now. Oh yes, we were then when we understood that the Bunga was in question, we began to explain to them, bring in democratic laws. I say, when the magistrate wants to address the location, I mean the people here, and they've got these Bunga fellows that have been elected to do the Bunga. Those are the dogs of the magistrates. You must choose your own people. This is you have a democratic right to choose your own people to represent yourself. You say you're there, even at that point when you go there. And the magistrate must deal with people who are chosen by you. Yeah. And this went home. Democracy. So I visited that one, and there's a meeting had been called by the chief magistrate. The people have already elected their own
speaker.
Yeah, 12. And these 12 comes early and occupy all the seats. You know, that is the place. You imagine there, sitting up on top there somewhere. And down here are the seats of the Bunga. So they come early and occupy all these seats here.
The front seats.
These
are the 12 reps.
They're the representatives.
And the Bunga people come, tea comes, and they sit at the back, you see? Yeah. That's why it can give a very good...
That's right. So now, these fellows come there, they can't. The place is that full. So, I also take off my hat and put on something so like...
That he looks like a peasant.
Like
a cap, and he sits at the back. That is very amusing. I couldn't go that day. I would be too obvious.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed the telling of that.
Yeah. So I sit there at the back amongst them. And I watch. The magistrate looks at them. He knows them. Then he decides to leave them alone. He talks. He talks about what he called the meeting for, you see. Goes on and on and on and on, and he sits down. So, any questions? Up jumps the fellow in front of him, asks the question. Magistrate, in a dismissal sort of way, answers in a few words. First enough. Up the next one here.